I'm happy to introduce to you a distinguished teacher and writer who, by his presence and work among us, has enriched our experience, Vladimir Nabokov.
And this is going to be an impersonation in iambic pentameter with fancy rhymes. I want you to imagine a professor of Russian, somebody like, say, Professor Pnin of Wayne Dell University. He has been invited to deliver a lecture in another college, a girls' college, somewhere in New England. He is met at the station by Miss Ethel Winter of the Bleak Department of English. And here he is speaking to a group of eager maidens who at first interrupt him with eager questions. He's going to be paid $50 for this performance. He has brought some slides with him, which he's going to show. His pronunciation has much improved since we last heard him. He will mention in passing two famous Russian poets, Pushkin and Nekrasov. The subject chosen for tonight's discussion is everywhere, though often incomplete. When their basaltic banks become too steep, most rivers use a kind of rapid Russian, and so do children talking in their sleep. My little helper at the magic lantern, insert that slide and let the colored beam project my name or any such like phantom in Slavic characters upon the screen. The other way, the other way. I thank you. On Mellow Hills, the Greek, as you remember, fashioned his alphabet from cranes in flight. His arrows crossed the sunset, then the night. Our simple skyline and a taste for timber, the influence of hives and conifers, reshaped the arrows and the borrowed birds. Yes, Sylvia? Why do you speak of words when all we want is knowledge nicely browned? Because all hangs together, shape and sound, heather and honey, vessel and content. Not only rainbows, every line is bent, and skulls and seeds, and all good worlds are round, like a Russian verse, like our colossal vowels, those painted eggs, those glossy pitcher flowers that swallow whole a golden bumblebee, those shells that hold a thimble and the sea. Next question. Is your prosody like ours? Well, Emmy, our pentameter may seem to foreign ears as if it could not rouse the limp iambus from its Pyrrhic dream. But close your eyes and listen to the line. The melody unwinds. The middle word is marvelously long and serpentine. You hear one beat, but we have also heard the shadow of another. Then the third touches the gong, and then the fourth one sighs. It makes a very fascinating noise. It opens slowly like a grayish rose in pedagogic films of long ago. The rhyme is the line's birthday, as you know. And there are certain customary twins in Russian as in other tongues. For instance, love automatically rhymes with blood. Nature with liberty. Sadness, pichal. With distance, dal. Humane with everlasting. Prince with mud. Moon with a multitude of words. But sun and song and wind and life and death with none. Beyond the seas, where I have lost a scepter, I hear the neighing of my dappled nouns. Soft participles coming down the steps, treading on leaves, trailing their rustling gowns, and liquid verbs in Ala and in Ili, Aeonian grottos, nights in the Altai, black pools of sound with elves for water lilies. The empty glass I touched is tinkling still, but now 'tis covered by a hand and dies. Trees, animals, your favorite precious stone, the birch tree, Cynthia, the fir tree, Joan, like a small caterpillar on its thread, my heart keeps dangling from a leaf long dead, but hanging still, and still I see this slender white birch that stands on tiptoe in the wind, and firs beginning where the garden ends, the evening ember glowing through their cinders. Among the animals that haunt our verse, that bird of bards, a regale of night, comes first. Scores of locutions mimicking its throat render its every whistling, bubbling, bursting, flute-like, or cuckoo-like, or ghost-like note. But lapidary epithets are few. We do not deal in universal rubies. The angle and the glitter are subdued. Our riches lie concealed. We never liked the jeweler's window in the rainy night. My back is argus-eyed. I live in danger. False shadows turn to track me as I pass. And wearing beards disguised as secret agents creep in to blot the freshly written page and read the blotter in the looking glass. And in the dark, under my bedroom window, until with a chill whir and shiver, day presses its starter, warily they linger or silently approach the door and ring the bell of memory and run away. Let me allude before the spell is broken to Pushkin, rocking in his coach on long and lonely roads. He dozed, then he awoke, undid the collar of his traveling cloak, and yawned and listened to the driver's song, amorphous sallow bushes called rakiti, enormous clouds above an endless plain, songline and skyline endlessly repeated, the smell of grass and leather in the rain, and then the sob, the syncope, Nekrasov, the panting syllables that climb and climb, obsessively repetitive and rasping, dearer to some than any other rhyme, and lovers meeting in a tangled garden, dreaming of mankind, of untrammeled life, mingling their longings in the moonlit garden, where trees and hearts are larger than in life. This passion for expansion you may follow throughout our poetry. We want the mole to be a lynx, or turn into a swallow, by some sublime mutation of the soul, but to any needed symbols consecrated, escorted by a vaguely infantile path for bare feet, our roads were always fated to lead into the silence of exile. Had I more time tonight, I would unfold the whole amazing story, New Cluja, Nivanesima, but I have to go. What did I say under my breath? I spoke to a blind songbird hidden in a hat, safe from my thumbs and from the eggs I broke into the gibus brimming with their yolk. And now I must remind you in conclusion that I am followed everywhere and that space is collapsible, although the bounty of memory is often incomplete. Once, in a dusty place in Mora County, half town, half desert, dump mound and mesquite, and once in West Virginia, a muddy red road between an orchard and a veil of tepid rain, it came, that sudden shudder, a Russian something that I could inhale but could not see. Some rapid words were uttered, and then the child slept on. The door was shut. The conjurer collects his poor belongings. The colored handkerchief, the magic rope, the double-bottomed rhymes, the cage, the song. You tell him of the passes you detected. The mystery remains intact. The check comes forward in its smiling envelope. How would you say delightful talk in Russian? How would you say good night? Oh, that would be Бессонница твой взор унылый страшен, Любовь моя отступника прости, Insomnia your stare is dull and ashen, My love, forgive me this apostasy.